salespeople and account give you logical
It is different shit that's bad.
But still, the principle is not that. The principle is mirror to us, then you don't
know. They're not buying. Okay. All right, so we're holding on Sadiq test on the day is about a quarter of the way down the Amud by the true dot. We learned in the Mishnah that an Oinin is allowed to touch Kodshim, which was the previous discussion. Oh, hello. We learned in the Mishnah that an Oinin is allowed to touch Kodshim, which we had the previous discussion about whether he's able to touch them without Tevila, but he's not allowed to bring Korbanos, and he also does not get a portion of Korbanos that he's going to eat that evening. Even though in the evening he won't, even though on the face of it, in the evening he won't get but he's not allowed to be makriv them unless he's a kohen gadol, and he's not allowed to eat them as an onan, and he doesn't get a portion which he will be able to eat that evening. We don't give him his own independent portion. So then we're asked on that. Nifla gudalei poliv. Okay, the implication of the Mishnah is then that you don't give him a portion. But the implication seems to be that if another kohen were to invite him to join with him in eating kodshim that evening, also, it sounds like he would be allowed to eat. The problem with that is, or a mini, I have a contradiction, because we learn in a Mishnah in Sakhin, Oinin, or Chosid Yipurim, it doesn't say that in the Mishnah in Sakhin, but Oinin, Tovol v'Oichol of Pischa La'erev, and Oinin is allowed to Tovol, he's allowed to Tovol, and, because we said before that an Oinin needs Tevila before he can eat Kodshim, and then he can eat his Pesach that evening, the evening of the 15th of Nisan, the first night of Pesach, Avaloi b'Kodshim, but that's not true of Kodshim. So on the face of it, therefore, meaning other Kodshim other than Pesach. So Rashi explains the assumption thus far, based on the Gemara and Pesachim, is like this. Now what's going to drive the discussion over here is, what part of Aninus is Daraisa, what part is Darabana? Right now, we're assuming, for purposes of the question, that a person is an Oinin during the day, on the day that their relative passed away, that's Daraisa. But that it continues the following night, even if the person wasn't buried yet, right? That we're understanding is only Dirabanan.
Because
so
if they were buried,
right, then for sure it would be over, right. So if
Aninus starts when
the person dies.
One second.
Yeah.
Does it start when the person dies,
yeah,
or does it start when the other person knows about it?
Well, if you don't know about it, you can't very well be an Oinin. Right, so okay, practically speaking, and we're going to talk about later on in the study of Shmur Kroiva, Shmur Rechoika, where a person hears about it within the 30 days after the death, versus when he hears about it afterwards, there are different halachas about that. Here we're not getting into that. That's topics for Moed Cotton. That's stuff you should have been learning on Tishba. But the point, I told you there's various things that you're allowed to learn there. Okay, anyway. The point is that right now we're assuming that the Aninus by day is Daraisa. Aninus the following evening, even if the mess hasn't been buried yet, is only Darabanan. So my other Kodshim, we're going to hold him to the Din Darabanan and not allow him to eat him. The Korban Pesach, since there's Korban involved, a person doesn't bring a Korban Pesach, then the Chachamim will act for you. But the point is, we see from that Mishnah that other Kodshim, an Oinin, is not allowed to eat that night. Yet the implication of our Mishnah is that even other Kodshim, he himself, if he's a Kohen, is not given his own portion of the Kodshim that were offered that day. But if a Kohen, if one of his fellow Kohenim wants to invite him over to come eat with them that evening, he'd be allowed to. By implication, yes. Yeah, so. Not a problem because there's a difference between Pesach and the rest of the year. Our Mishnah, that implies that he can invite him, that is talking specifically on Pesach night. Once the Rabbanon allowed him, Aidi, to offer Pesach, because once the Chachamim allowed him to eat the Pesach, because otherwise there's Koreis involved, then the Chachamim are going to allow him to eat other Kodshim as well. So because once he's allowed to eat one kind of Kodshim, the Pesach, and they did that because there's a Chiyuv Koreis involved, then therefore the Chachamim are going to allow him to eat other Kodshim as well. So yes, if a fellow Kohen, if on Erev Pesach they brought other Korbanos, somebody brought a Shlomim, let's say, or somebody brought a Chatas, and a fellow Kohen wants to invite this person who just became an Ovel, who was an Oinin, now Erev Pesach, and a fellow Kohen wants to invite him to a Seder, where they can join in the Korban Pesach and also in other Korbanos, also in the other parts of Korbanos that are eaten by Kohenim, fine, then he can do that. Tan b'shari moisa shana, but b'shari moisa shana during the rest of the year, d'loichazi, he's not suitable to eat kodshim by day. Therefore, he's not suitable by night either, because the rabbanon is aninu supplies by night also. Again, assuming the meth hasn't been buried yet. So therefore, that's that. Then the rest of the year, then that's the rest of the Mishnah is what when the Mishnah says over there in Tzachim, Onan Tova V'Ochol Pizkol La'erev Avol Loi B'Kodshim, it means Avol Loi B'Kodshim. The rest of the year, he would not be able to eat Kodshim. Whereas on Pesach night, he can eat both the Pesach and other Kodshim Well, whatever kind of korban it is that a Kohen has portions of it. Okay. For my Avaloi B'Kodshim, so what does the Mishnah mean when it says that they are not in Kodshim? It means Avaloi B'Kodshim Shokol Hashanah. It means you can't eat any Kodshim during the rest of the year, because Aninus Laila is Drabbana, and the Chachamim usually hold him to that. No, and even the Pesach, technically, it's not that if he doesn't eat it, he's high of Kodshim, it's only if he doesn't bring it. But as we're going to discuss, as we go through the sugya, the purpose of the Pesach, unlike most korbanos, where the mitzvah is accomplished by bringing the korban, the kohenim are supposed to eat their portions of the korban. That helps with the owner's kapara, but it's not essential to it. Whereas with the Pesach, the whole purpose of bringing the korban Pesach is to eat it. Therefore, we have various leniencies with the Pesach that we don't find with other korbanos as far as eating it. So that's it. Okay, so that's one answer. Rav Asi says, here's another way of explaining it. Loitasha. Not a contradiction between the Mishnah and Tzachim and our Mishnah, because you have to consider, when did the mess die? When did he become an Oni? Kan shemes lo mes ba'alba also ukvore ba'alba also. One case is talking about where the mess passed away on Erev Pesach, and he buried the mess also, or not he himself, because then he'd become it, but meaning the mess was buried also on Erev Pesach. So therefore, at that point, the point is that therefore he's allowed to eat the korban Pesach because he's allowed to eat the korban Pesach at that point because we only say that aninus laila exists only on the day of the mitzvah. Kan shemesla nes shloisha also kvore baba also. The other case is talking about where the mess passed away on the 13th and he buried him the next day. That is where our Mishnah implies that even though on the morning of the 14th he was still an Onan Dirabanan because the mess hadn't been buried yet, nevertheless, that we don't say that Aninus Laila of Yom HaKvura exists. You only have Aninus Laila of the day of the Mitzvah, which in this case was the 13th. So already by the time it comes the night after the 14th, first night of Pesach, he's not an Onan, not even Dirabanan anymore because the Kvura took place on that day. So that's when, our Mishnah, therefore, is talking about that case. That, fine, on the morning of the 14th, or during the day on the 14th, whatever, because the day of the Kvura, he's still an Onan Dirabanan. Therefore, we're not going to give him a chelet of the Kodshim. But if a fellow Kohen invites him to eat that night, good, by that night he's not an Onan Daraisa or Dirabanan anymore. Whereas the Mishnah in Tzachim, the Mishnah in Tzachim then is so in other words, Rav Asi is saying we're not like Rav Yumi Yigifti's explanation that we're talking Pesach versus the rest of the year. Both Mishnayos, our Mishnah and the one in Tzachim, are talking about the first night of Pesach, but our Mishnah is talking about where the Mitzvah was on the 13th and the Kavura was on the 14th. Then he can eat the Pesach and other Kodshim that evening. He can't get his own portion during the day, but he can eat part of somebody else's portion on Pesach night. Whereas the Mishnah in Tzachim that says that he can only eat the Pesach and not other Kodshim is referring to where the Mitzvah and the Kavura took place on the 14th, where again, then you would have the Aninus Laila Dirabanan, but they're going to relax it in order to allow him to eat the Kodim Pesach. But not like Rabbi Yomi Yibajifti said that once they relax it for the Pesach, they'll relax it for other Kodshim as well. No, Rabbi Asi says that's not what it is. They'll relax it
only
on the night after the Mitzvah, and Kavura, meaning the Mitzvah and the Kavura both took place on Yudah. On Erev
Pesach.
Nevertheless, though, what we're saying, what we're developing in the sugya is, even though at that point, after the Kavura, he's not an Onan D'Oraisa anymore, and that's why nowadays we don't have Kodshim, but you see that, for example, after a person's relative has been buried, he puts on tefillin and does all the other mitzvahs that he didn't do while he was an Onan. But as far as Kodshim, there's still a certain degree of aninus midrabban. And that's going to prevent that. because the Rabbanim made that rule. One thing some Achronim talk about is the idea that Gemara is going to develop. The Gemara is going to develop the idea later on that when you bring a korban, you have to be shalom, you have to be whole, not like an onion who's a broken person, but also as far as eating kodshim. We learned back on the Sabbath that kodshim are supposed to be eaten l'mosh cholagdula. They're supposed to be eaten in a royal fashion. So if a person is still in a state of mind where their relative just died and was just buried, then midrabanan, we don't want them eating kodshim in such a frame of mind. After they sleep on it, the next morning they'll feel different. So what we're saying, therefore, is, again, Rav Asi is saying that if the Misa and the Kvura were on the 14th, so there still is going to be a Aninus Laila Drabonon, usually. We'll relax it to allow him to eat the Korban Pesach, because the Korban Pesach is involved Torah, but we're not going to allow him to eat other Kodshim at all. We're going to discuss. We have several different explanations over here. This explanation of Rav Asi is to a certain extent accepted. We're going to see as we go through the sugya. We have a number of different ways of explaining the various Mishnayos and things. Several of them, they're not all necessarily arguing with each other, so therefore different aspects of them are accepted mahalach. Yes, there is lahalacha, this idea is accepted, lahalacha that I'm a paskin, but there's a difference between the Korban Pesach and other kodshim, as far as this case.
But not between day and night?
Well, so there is, in other words, that not necessarily are we accepting the distinction between 14th and 13th, there's the fact, is aninus laila is drabonon, and aninus laila is drabonon, however we're going to relax it for the Korban Pesach, either way. So let's see exactly what the Rambam says on the subject. Says like, Bonas, Korban Pesach, Shishi, here. So an Oinin is able to eat the Korban Pesach in the evening because since Aninus Laila is only Zirabonon, the Loihe Midu Degram of Akum Chorus, some don't impose that rule when there's Chorus involved, Ella, so they can stress for him and he can. So that when, because there's a Pesach involves Korban. So therefore they can shech for him during the day, and he can tovel, and then later on he can eat. We're going to see. Because during Pesach Hadas, right, as we discussed a few days ago, right. However, we're going to see later on that Rambam is going to, there are certain distinctions that we're going to make later in the sugya between this case. Now, but actually, the Rambam does mention this case of Rav Asi, that if the Mech died on the 13th and he buried him on the 14th, then he's able to eat other kodshim as well, which is essentially what Rav Asi is saying, that if the Mech died on the 13th and then the Kvura was on the 14th, then it's not only the Pesach, it's other kodshim as well that he's able to eat Pesach night. So to that extent, we do. On the 14th, he's still an Oinin. He's still an Oinin because of the Kavura, right? But then it's not Tofus Lele. It doesn't extend into the following night. Therefore, he's allowed to eat not only the Pesach, but other Kodshim as well. Okay. So the Gemara says, Man Tana Aninus Laila Midrabanon. Okay, which Tana is it that says this idea that Aninus on the following night is only Midrabanon? That is Rav Shimon. That would be specifically according to Rav Shimon. The Tanya, as we learn in a blaster, Aninus Laila Midivre Torah Divre Rav Yehuda. Rav Yehuda says that Aninus extends into the following night. Rav Yehuda learned it later on on Kofalik, we're going to talk about the Aninus of Aaron and his sons after Nadab and Abihu died. So Rav Yehuda is going to learn from there that the Aninus extends into the following night. Midoraita. Because at that time, this is Aaron and Moshe's time, didn't have the Rabbanim yet, really. Because he learns it from the story of Aaron over there. Rav Shimon says that no, this fact of Aninus the following night is not Deraita, it's only Derabanan. Keda, and Rav Shimon says, I'll bring you a proof, Chare Omru, because we said in the Mishnah that we quoted before, Oinen Tovol Va'ofalot Tiske La'erev, that an Oinen can Tovol and eat his Korban Pesach the following evening, Ava Loi B'Kodshim, but he can't eat other kodshim. So you see, says Rav Shimon. Now, obviously, this is an example. You have in a lot of places, we have Mishnayot that existed long before Rebbe finalized the Mishnayot. So we see here, Rav Yehuda and Rav Shimon are arguing, using, and Rav Shimon is bringing as a proof to his opinion about a Mishnah that must have existed much earlier than that. So that existed before their times already. So before Rebbe, So when Rebbe composed, when Rebbe finalized the Mishnayos, he took this old Mishnah, he took this ancient Mishnah, and embedded it into the Mishnayos. So we have a lot of examples like that throughout time. Anyway, the point is that Reb Shimon says, if Aninus Lila was Zaraisa, like you're saying, Reb Yehuda, how would he be able to eat the carbon Pesach? You don't find that the Torah carves out an exception to that. You have to say, therefore, that Aninus on the following night must be the Rabbanon. Therefore, the Rabbanon are able to make an exception for the carbon Pesach because there's carbon involved. Okay, so we see from that Reb Shimon holds that Aninus Lila is only the Rabbanon. So therefore, whereas Reb Yehuda holds the Zaraisa. So we're going to see later. We're going to discuss later. So the point is, therefore, so that when Rav Asi is saying that there's a distinction, when Rav Asi, and for that matter, Rav Yumi and Magifti are using as a premise for their explanation that Aminus Lila is the Rabbanan, they're following Rav Shimon. So the question is, Sover Rav Shimon Aminus Lila is the Rabbanan? You're telling me that Rav Shimon holds Aminus on the following night is only the Rabbanan, which apparently he does, because that's what he says in this Braisa that we just quoted. But Vahatanya, we learn in a braisa, Rav Shimon Omer Onin Einim Shaleach Korbanosav. We learn in a braisa that Rav Shimon says an Onin is not allowed to send Korbanos to the Beit Mikdash to be offered on his behalf. The reason why he uses the expression sending, by the way, is he being an Onin, or for that matter, during the 7 days of Avelos, he himself is not coming into the Beit Mikdash. The only possibility is for him to send them with a Shliach. But an Onin is not able to send Korbanos. So, my law, Vahatula B'Pesach. So the Chora, if he says he can't send Korbanos, that means across the board, no Korbanos, not even a Korban Pesach. So in that case, now why shouldn't he be able to send the Korban Pesach, the Pashtus, because he's not going to be able to, the Pashtus, if Aninus by day is Zaraisa, but by night is only Zerabanan, so therefore, the Pashtus, it must, yeah, exactly, because he's going to be able to eat it that night. So the Pashtus, that means that Rav Shimon holds that Aninus is even Zaraisa. And the answer is, Aninus by night. And the answer is, well, not necessarily. Lavarni Pesach. Maybe what Rav Shimon means is for all other korbanos except the korban Pesach, because no other korban yochid, that is, has a fixed time that you have to bring it on this day and no other. Even korbanos that you have, let's say, for example, a korban of a nazir or your ledus or whatever you have, the Torah gives you a certain date, when a certain, you know, the day after the nazirus is over, or the day after the tzaraas is healed or whatever, but nevertheless, if you bring it later, but yeah, then it's still fine. Only the korban Pesach, you have a certain calendar date, it has to be your Dalad Nissen and no other, well, unless you bring a Pesach Sheni. Therefore, Sir Rav Shimon can say, fine, and Oinen can send such a korban and he'll eat it that day. I'm saying all those you have, for example, your lettuce, let's say after she gave birth to a boy on the 41st day, she's supposed to bring her korban. Right. But if she didn't bring it on the 41st, she can bring it on the 42nd. If she didn't bring it on the 42nd, there's no korban involved, and there's no deadline involved. She just can't eat truma and kodesh. She just can't, not truma. She can't eat kodesh, and she can't enter the Beit Mikdash until she brings that korban. Yeah. So the question is, Bahatanya, but we learn in another braisa, Rav Shimon Omer, Shlomim. Rav Shimon says the fact that the korban is called Shlomim, and Shlomim are associated, Shlomim in particular are associated with Simcha, means Ku Shalom maybe, Veni maybe, Ku Onim. We learn from that a person can bring Shlomim, and we'll see soon how he knows that applies to other korbanos as well. Yeah. Only when he's shalim, only when he's whole. The meaning of the word not when a relative of his has died, where now he's not whole temporarily. He's also not shalim the daita. He's in a depressed mood and all. Yeah, the ainim may be kloinim, but he's not allowed to bring when he's an oinim. And continues Rav Shimon, minayin l'rabbis is a toda. How do we know the same rule applies to a toda, that an oinim cannot send a toda to the Beis Mikdash during his aninus? The answer is we're going to include the Torah because like a shlomim, it's eaten, it has to be eaten with simcha. Or actually Rashi says specifically what it is a Torah is a type of shlomim. A Torah is a specific type of shlomim. And by shlomim you have the expression simcha, but the back of shlomim is a shlom. Therefore, the Torah is also associated with Simcha, and in fact, Rashi mentions in that connection, when you have on Yom Tov, when you have to have Ein Simcha El Babasar, you can be Yosef by bringing a Torah.
Is that why we don't
send these middle 30 before Pesach because of the Chometz that comes?
No,
that's another matter.
When you
don't send Pesach? No, I understand this middle 30. The only time we don't send this middle 30 is Erev Pesach, or Pesach, and Erev Yom Kippur, and that's because of a Mavian Kodesh from the Beit Hamikdash that we've learned before in our Masechta, that you're not allowed to shorten the time that Korbanos are able to be eaten.
Okay.
If you were to bring a Torah at a Pesach, you could only eat the chametz of it until 5 hours in the day, as opposed to usually you would be able to eat it until still a lot of shakar. That's why we don't say Mizmah L'Soida. Right, in Mizmah L'Soida, right. That's why we don't say Mizmah L'Soida on Erev Pesach. We do say it the rest of the year, yeah.
Even when you don't say
Shachar. Yeah, 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 because one of them is a day. What? Mizmah L'Soida stops the behemoth. We don't say Mizmah L'Soida on Erev Pesach because then if you were to bring a Korban Torah, stands in place of a Korban Torah, you wouldn't bring a Korban Torah Erev Pesach because then you would have the chametz bread of it, you would have a very short time in which you could eat it, and you're not allowed to do that. Same thing, you wouldn't bring it during Pesach because of the chametz bread of it. You wouldn't bring it Erev Yom Kippur, same reason, you're shortening the time that it can be eaten. It's called Ein Mevi'in Kodshim L'Beis Achzul. But the rest of the year, you do say Mizmah L'Soida because it stands in place of a Korban Torah. Okay, so he continues, Minayim l'rabas et ha'oyla. How do we know to also include an oyla, that an oynin is not allowed to send an oyla to be offered in the Mishnah? The answer is, Ma'ban et ha'oyla, shekain bob in nebi u'nebiyabu kishlamim. We can include it on the basis of an oyla similar to a shlamim, in that all of them can be brought in nebi u'nebiyabu. A person can voluntarily bring an oyla or a shlamim. How about Minayim l'rabas b'chor or ma'isir Pesach? How do we know to also include that the same rule applies the b'chor and the ma'isir and the korban Pesach? That's why we're bringing this in over here. The answer is Ma'bani b'chor or ma'isir Pesach shekein enin bo'in al-chet, because they are similar to a shlomim in that none of them are brought for an avera. You don't bring a b'chor because you did an avera and now have to bring a korban. Same thing with ma'isir behemah, same thing with the korban Pesach. All of them are, they're a type of korban. They're not voluntary per se, but they're also not brought for a chet. How about Minayim? Yeah. Right. But in that sense, they're like a shlomim, right? Minayim l'rabas chatas v'ashem. How do we know the same rule applies to a chatas or an ashem, which you come for a chet? Therefore, tamad lema zebach. Therefore, the passage doesn't just say in shlomim korbanit. The expression is in zebach shlomim korbanit. The word zebach comes to include other korbanit, even the ones that are brought al chet. Now, what about minayim l'rabas ha'oifis v'hamenachos v'hayayin v'ha'esim v'alavoyna? How do we know to also include other korbanos that are not shechted? The word zevach, after all, means shechted. So how do we know it means non-shechted korbanos? Birds, menachos, wine, wood, lavoyna. Rashi, by the way, mentions an interesting thing about the wood over here. Rashi says, when a person brings wood to the, when a person brings a donation of wood to the Beit Hamikdash, and we have in Mishnah's Tainis, it describes over there how there were 9 families that had every year a certain special time when they would bring wood, but aside from that, a person could individually bring wood whenever they wanted. When they did that, Rashi says he would bring a korban with it. Therefore, so we're saying, so how do we know to include that korban as well? Rashi doesn't elaborate why. He just says, I'm not of eight, and maybe korban imam. He doesn't elaborate why. There's an explanation that Achronim bring, I think, first of all, most of Achronim disagree with Rashi on that, and in particular the Rambam describes the korban eitzim, it can be an independent thing by itself. Just wood by itself is a significant thing even without a korban. So you have a thing, I think, from Rebel de Soloveitchik that he discusses the idea that Rashi and the Rambam may be disagreeing about what the nature of a korban eitzim is. Is it fundamentally a korban on itself, or is it that it's like a side thing that you're bringing together with something else, and therefore you have to have a regular korban with it? Something like that. Anyway, the point is, the Balavoyna, or a person donates Lavoyna to be grown from the Mizbeach, how do we know all those things also an Onan cannot send to the Bessim Sesh? Therefore, the passage says in Zevach Shlomim Korbanoi, his korban, which again is an extra word that we can douch in from, meaning kol korbanos, true maybe, true shalim maybe, all korbanos, the person can bring only when he's whole, only when his family is whole, only when he is whole mentally, they in a maybe, true oinin, but not when he's an oinin. Now the point is, katani miya Pesach. In that list of korbanos, we have the Pesach. So apparently, Rav Shimon holds that an Oinin cannot send the Korban Pesach to the Beth Mikdash. Even though, on the face of it, why shouldn't he be able to? By day, sure, he's an Oinin, but by night already, he won't be an Oinin anymore, and he'll be able to eat the Korban Pesach. Presumably, that must be because Aninus Laila is Daraisa. In fact, Tosfos asks the question. I mean, okay, why don't we say the fact of the matter is basically something Tosfos discusses, why don't we just say, okay, the fact of the matter is right now he's an Oinin. But the answer is, again, since the Korban Pesach is fundamentally brought in order to be eaten, and in fact, for that reason, you have an exception by it that you don't have by any other Korban that's brought for Tumah. Now, you have Korban and Sibur can be brought for Tumah, but the Koranim are still not allowed to eat them in that case. The Pesach is the only exception where when it's brought for Tumah, they eat it for Tumah as well, because the whole purpose of the Korban Pesach is in order to eat it. that if, well, the Gemara is assuming over here, that why should we care about the fact that he's an onion at the time when it's being offered, if by night he'll be able to eat it?
They were assuming first night that they the carbon
paper. And that was before, that was before the regular, that was before Matur, that was before the regular rule of Tumah and Tara had been established. I'm not talking about that, but ordinarily, on the, during the, throughout the period of the Mishkan and then the Bate Mishkash, if it happened that the Sibur was Tomei, or most of the Kohenim were Tomei, or the Klei Sharis were Tomei, or what have you, they would still bring the Korban Pesach, and unlike every other Korban, they would also eat it. Yeah. So you should argue the same thing should be true over here as an Onin. Fine, he's an Onin by day, he's not Sholem, but nevertheless, on the face of it, we should allow him to because he can eat it by night. If we're not allowing to, it can only mean that he can't eat it by night. And why would he not be able to eat it by night? Can't be because Aninus Laila is the Rabbanon, because the Rabbanon would have relaxed the rule to allow him to eat the Korban Pesach and not be involved with the Fiyat Kodesh, right? So it must be that it must be a Daraisa. That contradicts what we said before, that Rav Shimon is arguing with Rabbi Yehuda that Aninus Laila is only the Rabbanon. The difference is that by day you have the pasuk we're going to quote later on in the sugya, the pasuk v'achrisa p'yomar that we learn from that, the pasuk in Amos, but still we learn the din from it, or at least Tanas Machta, that Aninus exists the first day, the day of the Mishnah. But no, nevertheless, though, we still make a distinction between the daytime and the nighttime. Rabbi Yehuda is not making such a distinction, Taker. Rabbi Yehuda is saying that Aninus by day extends into the following night. Rabbi Shimon disagrees with that on the face of it, but maybe not, since we just mentioned the Pesach. Amar Rav Chista, Pesach kedin nasei. So Rav Chista says, you're right, the Pesach was mentioned unnecessarily. The fact is, the Pesach, this din, according to Rav Shimon, would not apply to the Korban Pesach. On the other hand, meaning that, in other words, the Rav Chista is saying the Tana, who taught this price and made a mistake. He put in the word Pesach over there, because you always have Bechor and Maisa and Pesach come together. It's like he's mentioning Bechor and Maisa, and like Pesach slipped off his tongue as well. But really, Rav Shimon would hold that it doesn't apply to Pesach. Right. Rav Shesha says, I can give a different answer. I don't have to say that the Tana of the Brisa made a mistake. My Pesach shall make Pesach. When we say Pesach in this Brisa, we don't mean the Pesach itself, we mean the Shlomim of the Pesach.
Right.
Which means, Rashi explains over here that it means the Shlomim that are brought, the Chagigat Abal, so the Chagigat that's brought together with the Korban Pesach, when you have a large group that's going to be eating it, and each person is not going to get enough to fill them up. Nowadays, we commemorate that with the egg on the stage plate. That Shlomim, the usual rules apply. You can't offer it. A person can't offer it if he's an onion. There's no curries involved with it. Right. Different explanation, which I think Rashi gives in other places, is that Shalmei Pesach can also be the case that we've learned at back at the beginning of the Masechta, where a person did not, for one reason or another, a person did not bring their Korban Pesach on Erev Pesach, or it was possible to be brought or whatever, and therefore it becomes a Shlomim, that it turns from a Pesach into a Shlomim. That's another meaning of Shalmei Pesach, of Shlomim that used to be a Korban Pesach. You was originally designated for a Pesach, and now it turned into a Shlomim. Right. I mean, complete. But it also, I mean, the Rashi... Completion, right. Rashi mentions on the pulpit, it's also called Shlomim, because it makes Shalom between everybody, because the Beach gets a portion, and the Kohenim get a portion, and the owner gets a portion, but yeah. Okay. So the question... That's what Rashi mentions on the pulpit.
Everyone gets a portion.
So the question is, Yehochi Hainu Shlomim, according to Rav Sheshet, according to Rav Chista's answer, okay, the Tana made a mistake and put in Pesach by mistake. According to Rav Sheshet, you already mentioned Shlomim. You mentioned Shlomim at the beginning of the Benaisa. That's where you learned everything from. Because Bechor and Meister and Pesach always go together. We have in Ezer and Mekomen, for example, Bechor and Meister and Pesach, Kodshim Kalam, etc. It's a natural thing when a person is mentioning Bechor and Meister to mention Pesach with them. Anyway, so Rav Sheshet is not accepting that answer. Rav Sheshet is saying that the word Pesach here means Shalmei Pesach. The question is, and that's exactly what we already mentioned, Shlomim at the beginning of the Benaisa. So why repeat it? The answer is very simple. Tana Shlomim Aboyin Machnas Pesach, the Tana Shlomim Aboyin Machnas Aslan. Rav Sheshet would say, yes, the Braita has to separately mention Shlomim that are coming as a result of the Pesach, meaning either together with the Pesach to be able to eat Ala Soba, or instead of a Pesach, where the animal was originally designated. Because one, and versus a Shlomim that comes through as an independent thing. The E Loitana Shlomim Aboyin Machnas Pesach, because if it hadn't mentioned the case of Shlomim that come as a result of the Pesach, then you would think to say, look, Hoyle, Matha, Pesach, Ossi, the fact of the matter is this Korban is coming because of the Korban Pesach, either to accompany it or because it should have been a Korban Pesach. Therefore, you would think Gufei the Pesach Zomi, you would think maybe Taka, maybe it has rules like a Pesach itself, and it should override the usual rules of Aminus, Kamash Malon, and that would be the Chiddush, that not. So therefore, Rav Sheshet says that that's the answer to things. So therefore,
bring it separately to show that it doesn't.
To show that it doesn't, that even this Shlomim Haborim Machmas Pesach does not have any of the status of the Pesach as far as these dinim of Anir. But now we're saying we have to spell out the Shlomim Haborim Machmas Pesach. You should know something, by the way. In the Gemara and Tzachim, you actually have an opinion of Ben Tema, I think, who says that in a certain sense, those Shlomim that come with the Pesach are actually, in a certain sense, like the Pesach. He says, in the sense that the same way as the Pesach can only be eaten until midnight, so can those Shlomim. The halacha is not like him. The halacha is like a chachamim that those are like regular shlomim and they can be eaten for the usual amount of shlomim, shnei yamim v'layla echad. But nevertheless, the fact is you have a possibility that those have, to a certain extent, the status of the korban pesach. So therefore, all the rishis have to spell out that not as far as the dinim of anis. So it says Rav Sheshet. Rav Mori says, I have a different way of explaining the stira between Rav Shimon's two statements. You have, again, we're trying to figure out, on the one hand, we had Rav Shimon telling Rav Yehuda that you hold Aninus Laila as Daraisa, so I hold us only Darabanan, versus the Braisa that we just quoted where he mentions the Pesach, and Rav Mori doesn't like it, which seems to indicate Daraisa, and he doesn't like Rav Chista's answer that it's a mistake by the Tana, and he doesn't like Rav Sheshet's answer that there's two different types of Shlomim, so we need a different answer. He says, Loi Kasha, there's no contradiction between the two answers, because we can use an answer similar to what Rav Asi used before, earlier in the Sugya, on something else, on the contradiction, on the apparent contradiction between our Mishnah and the Mishnah in Tzachim, where our Mishnah implied that an Onan is able to, it doesn't get his own share of Korbanos, but he can join in eating somebody else's share on the evening after his Aninus is over, versus the Mishnah in Tzachim, which implied that you can't do that with other Kachim. And Rav Asi had distinguished between whether the Mech died and was buried on the 14th versus the Mitzah was on the 13th and the burial was on the 14th. So Rav Mori says we can use a similar answer to find for Rav Shimon. Loi Kasha. One is talking about where the mess died on the 14th and was also buried on the 14th. There, Rav Shimon is saying that was the long braisa that we quoted, where Rav Shimon would say that even the Pesach he can't bring. Because then we say, since Rav Shimon would hold that Aninus Yoim on the day of the Mitzvah Daraisa, everybody agrees with that. And Rav Shimon would say that also goes into the following night, the Tofus Leilim Daraisa. In other words, according to Rav Mori, Rav Shimon accepts the same limud that Rav Yehuda says later on in the story, Yom Kofalev, well, for the night after the Mitzvah, right? Kansha Mesla, so therefore you can't bring the Korban Pesach because he's not going to be able to eat it that evening on a Daraisa level. Kansha Mesla, Mesla Yagimel, Lekvara Biyadalim. The other case where Rav Shimon is saying that Aninus Laila is not Daraisa is talking about where the mess died on the 13th, the mess was buried on the 14th. So Rav Shimon is going to say that Aninus on the day of the Kvara of the 14th itself is only Dirabanan. So therefore the fact that it's Tofus Leila is also only going to be Dirabanan. So therefore, again, the Chachamim are going to make an exception for the Korban Pesach so that there's no fear of Korban involved. The Chachamim are going to make an exception for the Korban Pesach. So therefore, right. When the Mitzvah was on the 13th and the Kavodah on the 14th. Because then, the whole concept that he's even Bechlal and Onan on the 14th itself is only Dirabanan. So Daraisa would only be on the day of the Mitzvah.
Right.
So the fact that it's so in other words, Rav Shimon would say, there's no such thing, not like we were saying before. We assumed before, earlier in the Sugya, that Rav Shimon would hold that even then, Aninus Yoin is Daraisa, Aninus Laila is always going to be Dirabanan. Now Rav Mori is saying no. Rav Shimon would say, when Aninus Yoin is Daraisa, then Aninus Laila the following night is also Daraisa. When Aninus Yoin itself is only Dirabanan, namely on the day of the Kavura, then Aninus Laila following it is also only Dirabanan, and therefore the Chachamim are going to make an exception and allow him to eat the Korban Pesach.
The version of Rav Mori, the Chachamim would hold it on the first day to arise, on the first
not night. Not the Chachamim, Rav Shimon we're talking about.
But now I'm not talking about the Chachamim, what would they hold?
We have Rav Yehuda and we have Rav Shimon, we don't have Chachamim.
Okay, so Rav Yehuda.
So Rav Yehuda, in other words, would hold that the aninus on the Yom HaKvura, well, that's what we're going to discuss in a second. That what in that case, then what is Rav Shimon answering Rabbi Yehuda on the face of it, that they're not really arguing? Now, we're going to get to that in a second, right? But so far, we're trying to find sort of Shimon.
What?
If a person died by night, so then, I mean,
the next night.
Right, so you're talking about if he died on the night of the Yishuv Chometz? I'm pretty sure that would be considered
right.
For these purposes that he died on the 14th. In general, in general, the day follows the night. It's only by Kodeshim that we have the night follows the day. So yeah. I think so. I'm not quite sure about that, but I think so. Anyway, the point is, no, right now we're not trying to deal so much with Rabbi Yehuda yet. Because within Rabbi Yehuda, we don't have a stira. We have a seeming stira within Rabbi Shimon, where he's arguing to Rabbi Yehuda that Aninus Laila is the Rabbanon, but on the other hand, we have him telling us that an Onan can't send the Korban Pesach, implying that he can't eat it either, implying that it must be Daraisa. So we have the Chista's answer that it's a mistake in the Daraisa. We have the Shesha's answer that there's two types, that it's not the Pesach, but a different type of Shlomim. Now we're dealing with Rabbi Mori's answer, who's using a similar answer to before, that there's a difference between whether the Mess died on the 13th or on the 14th. So Rashi explains, Rav Mori would say, as far as the Mishnah and Stachim, he would use the same answer as Rav Yumi and Medifti, that once he's allowed to eat the Pesach, then he's allowed to eat other Kodshim as well. Once the Chachamim relaxed their rule about him being an Onan Rabbanon on the first night of Pesach, then they'll relax it for other Kodshim as well. So therefore, when the Mishnah, on the first night of Pesach, by the time of the Seder night.
Right.
Of course, that's what Rav Mori would hold that way. So there, in other words, so the Gemara teaches out, going back to the Gemara, if the mess died on the 14th and the burial was also on the 14th, well then Yom Mitzvah Tosfos Lo Yelamid Doraisa, then the day of the Mitzvah grabs on to the following night on the Doraisa level, Rav Shimon would say, this is how Rav Mori explains Rav Shimon, and therefore he can't offer a Korban Pesach, he's not going to be able to eat it anyway. Of necessity, you'll have to bring a Pesach Sheni. Mesle, Messi, Gimel, Kvorib, Yadalad, whereas if the Mess died on the 13th and buried him on the 14th, Yom Kvorib, Midrabanon, Enetosis Lele, Elimidrabanon, then the whole thing that he's an Onan on the Yom Kvorib itself is only Midrabanon. The following night is also only Midrabanon, that is, Tosis Lele also applies only on a Midrabanon level. Therefore, the Midrabanon are not going to impose their Midrabanon, when it would conflict with bringing and eating the Korban Pesach, and other Kodshim along with it. Only for the day of the Mitzvah, right. Okay. Only Rav Ashi Rav Mori, so Rav Ashi asks Rav Mori, the Ella Hod Kaponi, okay, if you're going to explain it that way, then look back at the Braisa that we quoted, before. Only Rav Shimon Teda, so Rav Shimon says to Rav Yehuda, I can prove to you that Aninus Laila is only Dirabanan, Sharei Omru Onen Tovah Va'ochel Pisco Avalovakotchim, because we said that an Onen is able to Tovah and eat his Pesach that evening, on the first night of Pesach, but not Kodshim. So and we use that before to say that Rav Shimon is saying that Aninus Laila is the Rabbanan, which we said before. Rav Yehuda said Aninus Laila is Medivrei Torah. Rav Shimon says it's only Medivrei Sefer, and he says I can prove it to you on the basis of that Mishnah. Well, then according to your explanation, if even Rav Shimon is only talking about the night after the Kvura, name alay, then Rav Yehuda should answer back Rav Shimon. You're bringing in something that we're not arguing about. I'm talking to you about the night following the Misa, which is Daraisa. And apparently you agree. Why are you dragging in Yom Kvura, which is Dirabonon? I didn't say anything about Yom Kvura.
It seems to be implied.
No, not necessarily.
No.
Because Rabbi Yehuda holds that the night after the Misa is Daraisa, and Rabbi Shimon agrees with that, according to Rabbi Mori's explanation, doesn't necessarily mean they might also agree on Yom Kvura. Yeah, and in that case, there's no machlokas between them. So what is Rabbi Shimon arguing with Rabbi Yehuda?
That's the point. That's what I'm saying.
No, yeah, right.
But I have to disagree on
that. That's the question. Yeah. What do you mean, never ended? What we're discussing in the sugya over here, the whole concept of aninus exists, midaraisa exists only on the Yom HaMitzvah. You have, then, midrabanan, there's an aninus that's still in effect until the burial and actually as far as kodshim even after it. But all that is only midrabanan. But what Abaya is arguing to Rav Mori, what I buy is argument to Rav Mari is according to your explanation, it seems there's no actual argument between Rav Shimon and Rav Yehuda. So what kind of proof is Rav Shimon bringing to Rav Yehuda from that Mishnah when, according to your explanation, it's talking about Yom Kippur, which Rav Yehuda didn't say anything about? Then says Kasha, you're right, that's a difficulty with Rav Mari's explanation. Okay, the Sfas Emes says it's not a tzuvta, it's not an absolute refutation, because Rav Mari can understand that maybe in fact Rav Yehuda would argue about Yom Kippur as well. Maybe in fact Rav Yehuda would argue that Aninus on Yom Kippur and on the following night is Zaraisa as well. We don't know that for sure, but at least you could understand it that way, so you can't completely contradict Rav Mari, but still. That was all according to Rav Mari. So that was the third explanation. Yeah, Abaya asked Rav Mari. Rav Mari had said that there's a distinction when the mess died. If the mess died and the Aninus Daraisa is on the 14th, then Rav Shimon will agree the following night is also Daraisa, therefore the guy can't bring a Korban Pesach and can't eat a Korban Pesach. That's the point. That was Abaya's question on Rav Mari. Okay, so that's what Gemara left it as Kasha. So we could, that's what I'm saying. Sfatana says you could argue, Rav Mari could argue back that he would understand Rav Yehuda to be saying that both types of Aninus are Daraisa, both Yom Mitzvah and Yom Kippur. But Gemara doesn't spell that out, and we don't know why. Right.
That is Jeremy also.
Abaya, Omar. Abaya says, here's it. Abaya, Omar. Okay. Abaya, Omar. Yeah, so. Aninus does not mean that a person is not holy. It means Aninus is a person is distracted. He's not shulin. He didn't touch the mess. Obviously, he touched the mess. He has to be sprinkled with parah gemara water. When we say kvara, we don't mean that he buried him. We mean somebody else buried him. So it's his relative, but somebody else did the actual did the actual thing. So he himself didn't become tamim. Abaya says, here is yet another way of entering Rav Shimon, where again we have Rav Shimon saying before that Aninus Laila is Rabban, but then we had a Braisa where he seems to be implying that Zaraisa, because he says that an onion can't bring a Korban Pesach. Abaya says, here's another way of entering it, like Kasha. Kan shemes kodim chatzos, kan shemes la'acha chatzos. It depends. You should be talking on the 14th itself. The difference would be, though, did the relative die before Chatzos or after Chatzos? The difference would be like this. When is the earliest time in the day that you can bring the Korban Pesach? That's Chatzos. Practically speaking, most years they would start bringing it later in the afternoon because you wanted to have time for people to bring their other voluntary korbanos. Most years they would bring the Korban Tamid, they'd finish with the Korban Tamid 9.5 hours into the day, Mincha Kana, and then they would start with the Korban Pesach. That's after Chatzos. But in principle, the earliest you could bring the Korban Pesach is Chatzos. The earliest they would ever move it up, the Mishnah tells us in Tzachim, the earliest they would ever move it up is on when Erev Pesach came out on Erev Shabbos, where they need extra time in the day to roast the Korban Pesach before Shabbos. So then they would move it up. They still couldn't do it in the morning. You're not allowed to. So then they would do the Korban Tamid 6.5 hours into the day, Mincha Gdola, a half hour after Chatzos. That's the earliest you can do. In principle, you could do it at Chatzos. The Gemara talks about in Yoma that the walls of the Beis Mikdash weren't perfectly perpendicular, so you wouldn't notice the shadow. You wouldn't notice that the sun has moved off the zenith until a half hour after. But that's why Mincha Gdola is a half hour after Chatzos. And the Gemara mentions it in Yoma. But anyway, the point is that when it fell out on Erev Shabbos, then they would move up the Korban Tamid. They'd shecht it at 6.5 hours, offer it on the Mizbeach at 7.5 hours, so let's say 1:30 in the afternoon, the Tamid, and then they would begin with the Korban Pesach, beginning from 1:30 and going until Shkia, right? Anyway, the point is that the earliest you could bring the Korban Pesach is Chatzos. So if the next died before Chatzos, says Abaya, then at that point, the Torah pushes him off. He can't, we said before, choose Sholim. So therefore now, when the time of bringing the Korban Pesach comes, he's no longer Sholim, because now he's an Oinon. Therefore, that's it. The Torah removes him from bringing the Korban Pesach, and he's going to have to wait and bring a Pesach Sheni. As opposed to, if the next died after Chatzos, so you had, first came the time when he was chayav to bring a Korban Pesach, because in principle it could be brought any time from Chatzos onward, then the next died. Now, that Aninus is not strong enough to push him off from bringing the Korban Pesach, because the chiyuv of bringing the Korban Pesach existed before that. existed at existed beginning from Chatzos, right? And the Aninus and the Aninus and the Aninus, the Aninus, which would push him off, only comes after that, right? So therefore, but his obligation for the Korban Pesach came first, exactly, right? Rashi points out, nevertheless, still using Abaye's logic, we still would have to say that Aninus Laila on the day of the Misa is only Dirabanan. So the fact of the matter is, if Aninus Laila was Daraisa, he still wouldn't be able to eat his Korban, he still wouldn't be able to eat his Korban Pesach. Fine, because the chiyuv of shechting it came before he became an Ovel, but the eating of it, the chiyuv of eating it only comes afterwards, right? So therefore, Rashi says of necessity, Abaye has to hold, therefore, which is something that we're going to discuss in the Gemara, is achilas psachim ma'atva or not? When a person brings a Korban Pesach, but they're not going to be able to eat it, is that ma'ativ, the kashrus of the Korban Pesach or not? Abaye evidently holds, is exactly what it sounds like. In other words, so you have the shnayas and psachim that discuss, for example, if a person were to shech the Korban Pesach having in mind, let's say, a group of people who none of them are going to be able to eat a kazayin, old people, sick people, or whatever, the Korban would be possible. But let's say, for example, here we're not talking about that. Here we're talking about that they're shechting the Korban Pesach on behalf of a group. In that group is somebody who is an onion. He's not going to be able to eat it. So the question is that ma'akiv? So in the case if it was done all for people who can't eat it, then yes, it would be possible. If it was shechted for some people who can and some who can't, it would be kosher, but still, it's not the right way to do it. You're supposed to only have in mind people who are capable of eating the kazakh.
Maybe when they did the group, they didn't
know that he was an onion. So here we're talking about he became an onion after Chatzos, let's say again. But the point is, the Korban Pesach had not actually been shechted yet. By the time they actually get to shechting it, he's already an onion. Because let's say, in other words, again, the beginning time for bringing the Korban is at Chatzos, so let's say 12 o'clock. Meanwhile, at 1 o'clock, the mess dies. They don't get around to shechting the Korban Pesach until 4 o'clock in the afternoon, let's say. By then he's an onan, by then he's long since an onan. And the point is, if we were to say that Aninus Laila is Daraisa, then he wouldn't be able to eat it either. The fact that we're allowing him to bring the korban and eat it implies that Aninus Laila is Dirabanan. So therefore, Rashi says, even though he became an... Right, only if it's after Chatzos, right. Now, we don't want to prevent him from eating it, Rashi says, because then he's not going to bother shechting the Korban Pesach at all, and we want him to, because he has a chiyuv d'oraisa to. Or Rashi gives another explanation, once he has to shecht it, it's not really derech eretz to the Korban to shecht it, it's going to end up becoming possible, but we don't make such an exception for other Korban. So that would be the difference. Where the mess died before Chatzos, where he's not even fit to offer a Korban Pesach at that point because the beginning time for the Korban Pesach is at Chatzos, then therefore the Aninus is chal on him, and therefore that overrides him bringing the Korban Pesach. That prevents him, that blocks him from bringing the Korban Pesach. After Chatzos, where he was already suitable in principle, he could have brought his Korban Pesach as soon as possible after Chatzos. Therefore, says Abaye, the Aninus is not chal on him to the extent of pushing him off from bringing the Korban Pesach, and once it doesn't push him off from bringing it, then the Rabbanan are not going to impose their rule of Aninus Laila and prevent him from eating it, for the reasons that Rashi just said.
That shows that
Aninus Laila is only the Rabbanan, but that according to Reb Shimon, in other words. So therefore, Reb Shimon himself, when he has one braisa where he says Aninus Laila the Rabbanan, and he has another one that says that an onan cannot send his Korban Pesach, that depends. Is the Misa before or after Chatzos? So the Gemara says
two braisas would be one before and one after,
right? So the question is, where do you get this idea that Reb Shimon would hold, that we would even hold on a Daraisa level, actually, that we would hold on a Daraisa level, but there's a difference between before Chatzos and after Chatzos? We're going to show how we see that on a Daraisa level, there is that distinction. Namely, the Tanya, we learn in a Braisa. Now, you have the Pasuk says about a Kohen. We know that a Kohen is not allowed to become Tomei for anybody except for his close relatives, his parents, his siblings, and his children.
Sure.
And And the Pasuk says, the Pasuk also mentions that he can become Tomei for She'eiro, which means his wife, Lof Yitama, for who he should become Tomei, meaning mitzvah. Meaning it's a mitzvah for him to do it. It's not just an optional thing that he could do it if he wants to. He has to do it. Lo Yigotza, and if he doesn't want him, Retamin Osar Kocho, then they make him Tomei, and they force him to participate in the burial Bar Kocho, even if he doesn't want.
This is for a
for a Kohen, a Kohen Hedi. Kohen Hedi. Kohen Gadol not, right. Kohen Gadol is only a mitzvah. And Kohen Hedi, actually the Rambam has an interesting shita on it, which is we don't actually learn the wife from the Pasuk. He says that the fact is the Pasuk only lists the six relatives. We darshan at the word she'era, means his wife, but the Rambam says that we don't even use, never mind that, Jerusha. The Rambam says the wife, the Chachamim say that he should be metameh to her because effectively she's like a mitzvah.
Where did he get that?
That's what he learns. So he learns, in other words, that same way as we know a Kohen can become Tomei for a mitzvah, as we're going to discuss in our study over here. So therefore, the Rambam says his wife is considered. The reason why he becomes Tomei for her is because we treat her for that purpose like a mitzvah, because not necessarily is there going to be anybody else available to bury her or her husband. So we don't have to learn it from Shea, he says. We don't have to learn it from Shea. Right. What? It happened with Yosef HaKoyen that his wife died on Erev Pesach, HaKoyen from the times of the Beit HaMikdash. Yeah, there's a Yosef HaKoyen mentioned in a few places in Gemara and Midrashim. I don't know if it's all the same one. It may or may not be. There's a story elsewhere about a Yosef HaKoyen. Again, I don't know if it's the same one where he had to have an operation to have his leg amputated. And right before they finish the amputation, he has the presence of mind to tell his son, who's there taking care of him, go out of the room because as soon as they finish cutting it off, you're going to become Tommy Mess from Mitzvah Oil, and you can't be here for that. So the Medrash mentions, that's the point. He's alive, but the leg is now cut off. So the Medrash Shabbat and Tehelet mentions on this deposit, yes, tzaddik over the tzidko, that you see, you have a tzaddik, like Yosef HaKoyen, who has a presence of mind, he still has his tzidko, even when he's in such a condition. Right, also true. Anyway, so I don't know if this is the same Yosef HaKoyen or not, but anyway. A limb from a living person, an eva min achai, is metame, as long as it's bost of gidim v'atzomos, as long as it consists of bones and gidim and flesh, which it did, because the leg, yes, so it would be metame, a person b'mago v'mato of oil. So therefore, we have to tell his son to get out of there. Okay. Anyway. Yeah, okay. All right, onwards. It happened that Yosef HaKoyen's wife died on Earth. And he didn't want to become Tomei because he didn't want to miss bringing the Kohen Pesach. The Nimnu Echav HaKoyenim and the other Kohenim, fellow Kohenim, voted about it. That, and they realized we have to do it. The team all about Kohen, and they forced him to become Tomei. History doesn't record that detail. They pushed him in, I don't know, yeah.
Pushed him in the room?
Could be, I don't know. Okay. So now. In order to see that there's a difference between before Chatzos and after Chatzos, we have to contrast that Braisa, with a different Braisa. And then, based on the contrast, we'll see that, there seems to be a difference between before and after Chatzos. So what does the Rumini? I have a contradiction. In the case of a Nazir, the Pasuk says, the Pasuk mentions that a Nazir is not allowed to become Tomei for any of his 12 relatives. And one of them is, the Pasuk says, V'la Achoisa, for his sister. The Matam of Loimah. This is Sivan Nazir, right? So what is that coming to teach us? The Pasuk says, in that Pasuk, he's not allowed to become Tomei for his father or his mother. So a Kavachomer from that would be he's not allowed to become Tomei for his sister. So why does it need to be mentioned? And besides, the Pasuk before that says, Al Nefesh Meis Lo Yava. He's not allowed to come in contact with any dead bodies. So you don't need to list out his individual relatives. It means like this. Suppose you have a person who is going to shecht his Kohen Pesach, the lomul asbnoi, or he's going to mal his son, which you have, and Rashi elsewhere talks about, and other Mephoshim talk about elsewhere, it can either mean that he has to mal his son, because otherwise, after 8 days, let's say the Bris Milah was delayed, and if he doesn't do it now, then he's not going to be able to bring a Korban Pesach, because you're not allowed to bring a Korban Pesach if you have any Arelim in your family, in your household. No, you don't become Tameh. No, of course not. But the point is that he's on his way to do a Bris Milah, so either he's doing the Bris Milah just for the sake of being able to bring the Korban Pesach, or it just means a Milah independently, just because Milah is also involved in Issa Kodesh. Rashi, by the way, explains that the Braith over here is talking about a case where a person is a Nazir and a Kohen Gadol, and he's going to shech his Korban Pesach or do a Milah. And then b'shama shemes loymen. And then he hears that a close relative of his died. Yocho yitama, you should think he would become tamei. Amarto lo yitama. No, the pasuk says lo yitama. He's not allowed to become tamei. So therefore, yocho kishem shelo yitama lachoy. So now you would think, the same way as he's not allowed to become tamei for his sister, kach en matama la mesmitzva, the same way he should not become tamei for a mesmitzva, tamad lima v'la'achoy. So therefore, that's why the pasuk mentions his sister, implying implying for his sister he's not allowed to become tamei because there's other people available to bury him. Av matama hu la mesmitzva, but he's able to become tamei for a mesmitzva. Even though, as Rashi says, he's a Nazir, and he's a Kohen Gadol, and he's on his way to do a mitzvah that involves the Chiyuv Kodesh, if he doesn't, Pesach or Milah, as the case may be, nevertheless, it's overridden for Mes Mitzvah. Tosfos discusses over here that even though that is the context of the Braita, Tosfos says maybe that's not what it's talking about. Maybe this part of the Braita is just talking about an ordinary person who's going to Shech with Korban Pesach or whatever, because otherwise you could argue, if it's a Nazir and a Kohen Gadol, etc., you could argue, fine, such a person shouldn't be Matami for his sister, but a regular person who's going to Shech with Korban Pesach, maybe sure. Okay. Yeah, so that's what Tosfos says, that the Braita is not necessarily talking about another Kohen Gadol, just somebody who's going to bring Korban Pesach or do a Milah, that overrides becoming Tomei. So it's relative, but it doesn't override a Mes Mitzvah. Interesting idea, by the way, how do we get Pesach and Milah from the word V'lachoy? So there's an idea that a couple of the Achronim bring, the Torah Tzvima brings it in as notes on the Spasif, and it goes back to a couple of Achronim before him, I don't remember which ones, that the word v'la'achoysay in that pasuk has unusual nekudas. Usually the word would be v'la'achoysay, like it is in Parshas Emor. Here it's ul'achoysay, with a shuruk and with a shva under the lamed and with a patach under the aleph. So therefore, the Chachamim may have gaushened it miloshen achva, miloshen brotherhood, as in you have a medrash that says that what are the two mitzvahs that connected us most powerfully to Hashem when we left Mitzrayim, Pesach and Milah. So therefore, like they made us, so to speak, they made us, like so to speak, brothers in a close connection with Hashem, and yet we override them for a Mes Mitzvah. We don't override them for just for his sister, but we do override them for a Mes Mitzvah. Anyway, we're dashing about the mess about the Pesach and Milah, and saying the Rachoisei. So when a person is on his way to Achoisei to do these mitzvahs that connect us with Hashem, then he can't be metame for Achoisei for his biological sister, but he can be metame. But he has to be metame for a mes mitzvah. The point is that on the one hand we have the first braisa saying lo yitama mitzvah, and now we have the other one saying that and bringing the story of Yosef Akoyin. The other one is saying that he doesn't become tame. So how do we reconcile them? Evidently, the way to reconcile it must be one bride that's talking about before Chatzos and one after Chatzos. Before Chatzos, he doesn't yet have a chiyuv to bring the Korban Pesach. Therefore, he should go ahead and become Tomei, and they'll even force him to, like they did with Yosef HaKohen. Whereas if it was after Chatzos, then he shouldn't become Tomei for anything other than a Mes Mitzvah. So therefore, you see that the distinction between before Chatzos and after Chatzos is valid on a Derdaisa level. Anyway, the point is that maybe the Rambam would say that even though in a certain sense we treat her like a Mes Mitzvah, the fact is she's not. It's not like she has no other family. I don't know. It's a good question. Anyway, the point is that So therefore, so the same way we can make the distinction, therefore, Abaye is saying, you can make the same distinction between before Chatzos and after Chatzos, where if the mess died before Chatzos, then he's an Onan and he does not bring a Korban Pesach, and if it died after Chatzos, then he is an Onan also, but nevertheless, we'll allow him to bring a Korban Pesach and even to eat it. Tell me, man, who says that that way of reconciling the two brides is valid? Maybe it's not a distinction between before and after Chatzos. Dilma la'olam emalach aydi v'aydi after Chatzos. Maybe, in fact, both of them are after Chatzos. V'hora b'shmol, v'hora b'akiva. And they're two different opinions. One b'raith says according to Rabbi Shmuel, the other one's according to Rabbi Akiva. Yitanya, as in fact we learn in a b'raitha, lof yitama reshus divrei Rabbi Shmuel. Rabbi Shmuel says that when the Pesach says you should be metame for his close relative, that is reshus, that's optional, he didn't have to do it. Rabbi Akiva says he's obligated to. So therefore, you could have the first braisa involving Yosef HaKoyen would be according to Rabbi Akiva. The second one, which says that he doesn't have to become Tomei for La'achoyse, when we're only for a mess mitzvah, would be according to Rabbi Shmuel. The answer is, the Gemara says, Lois Falkataita. Okay, but you can't think that way. You can't possibly think that the braise involving the person on his way to bring a Korban Pesach, the one involving, like Rashi said, a Kohen Gadol on another, you can't think that that one is according to Rabbi Shmuel, the Reisha died here, Rabbi Akiva Katani Law, because the beginning of that braise is Rabbi Akiva saying it, so therefore the next part of the braise also has to be him. The Tanya has to learn a braise. Usually we assume that one continuous braise over that Darish and the Pesach is all according to one Tana. Sometimes you have, but it's not going to be a usual thing that in the middle of Darish and a Pesach we're all of a sudden going to switch. Rav Akiva, I mean, Nefesh Elu HaKrozim, Nes Elu HaRachim, when the Pesach says by the Nazir, Al Nefesh Meis Lo Yavoi, the word Nefesh and the word Mes refer to two different things, he says. The word Nefesh refers to the close relative. The word mess refers to the more distant people who are not related to him. Rashi explains, it's not like we have an explicit way of understanding the word nefesh means close relatives and mess not. All it is Rashi says, if you only have one word, it's one of those things where if you only had one word, you would think it only applies to non-relatives. Therefore, you need both words to clarify that it also applies to close relatives.
Nefesh and
mess. Choice is mentioned, by the way, that in Nazir you have to deal with this. The other way around, that Nefesh refers, that Nefesh refers to the Chokim and Nefesh refers to the Krogim. Okay, anyway. The point is that, and he says, La'oviv eni metame av metame ula mesmi. So we learn, like, the Pesach mentions, again, it mentions La'oviv ula imoi la'ochiv ula achoyfe. So Rav Akiva doushens from the mention of each of those four relatives, he doushens something. That is, again, that applies to these cases. What do we learn from La'oviv? That he's not Mekame for his father, when he's a Nazir or an Kohen Gadol and on his way to bring Korban Pesach, or when the Tosfos was just on his way to bring Korban Pesach, as the case may be. Abba Mekame hu l'mes mitzvah, but he is Mekame for a mes mitzvah. What do we learn from La'imoy, when it says his mother? We learn from that, Hoya Kohen mu Nazir. What if he's not just a Kohen, he's a Kohen and a Nazir, so he has two levels of Kedusha. La'imoy hu de'ena Mekame, Abba Mekame hu l'mes mitzvah. So he's not metame for his mother because as a nazir he's not supposed to become tame for his mother. But the fact of the mes mitzvah overrides even the fact that he's a kohen and a nazir. That's what we learn from the Imo. V'la'achoytei matam la'achiv. What do we learn from la'achiv? Sheim hoya kohen gadol v'hu nazir. Even if he's not just a regular kohen, but a kohen gadol who doesn't become tame for relative. V'hu nazir, and he's a nazir who also doesn't become tame for relative. So la'achid hu de'en metame, he doesn't become tame for his brother, because that's a relative. Avon metame hu l'mes mitzvah, but he becomes tame for a mes mitzvah. So we need that extra word la'achid, because otherwise we wouldn't have known. We would have thought that maybe the high level of kedusha of a kohen gadol increases the level of kedusha. And what about la'achoysei matam l'oma? Then what are we learning for la'achoysei? So that's the case, that's the part of the braisa that we quoted before. If a person is going to shecht his Korban Pesach, again, according to Rashi, it's talking about the same person who's a Kohen Gadol and a Nazir, and is on his way to bring his Korban Pesach. According to Tosfos, it doesn't have to be, it could just be a plain person who's going to bring his Korban Pesach. The Lomel of Tzoy, who is going to mile his son, the Shomash HaMes LeMes, and he hears that a relative of his dies, Yoho Yitama, you would think that he should become Tomei, Amar Tolo Yitama, you say that he doesn't become Tomei. Yachol Kashem Shein Matamal Achos. You would think, just like he doesn't become Tomei for his sister, Kach Ein Matamal Mesmith. So also he doesn't become Tomei for a Mesmith. Tamal Lema V'Lachos. That's why the Pesach singles out his sister. Meaning L'Achos, Lo Yitamal, right? He doesn't become Tomei for his sister. Ava Matamal, Ava Yitamal, the Mesmith, but he becomes Tomei for a Mesmith. So the bottom line is that this Braisa, the whole Braisa, starts off with Rabbi Akiva. So you can't say that in the middle it switches over to the Bishmol. So therefore, we have to accept what we said before, that there is a distinction. The only way to reconcile the Braisa, the story of Yosef HaKohen, versus this Braisa that we just quoted, is to say, Kodim Chatzos and Acha Chatzos. So therefore, so you can't say that one is according to the Bishmol and one according to the Rabbi Akiva, because apparently both of them are according to the Rabbi Akiva. So therefore, Abaya says to that, so my proof still works, that there's a difference between before Chatzos and after Chatzos. Rava says, here's another way of understanding it. Going back, we're still trying to figure out the stira between Rav Shimon's two statements, one where he says, well, Aninus Lila is the Rabbanon, and one where he implies that it's Daraisa, not the Mishnah and the Braisa. We're still dealing with the two Braisas that we've quoted Rav Shimon on Tzadikas on the day. One where he says to Rav Yehuda, Aninus Lila is the Rabbanon, and I can prove it from the case of the Korban Mitzvah. And the other one where he says that a Shlomim and all the other Korbanos you can only bring when you Sholim, and he mentions the Pesach in that connection. The Rava says, so far we have what we had with Chista's answer that it was a mistake in the Braisa, Rav Sheshet's answer that Pesach means Shalmei Pesach, Rav Mori's answer that the distinction whether the Met died on the 13th or the 14th, Abaya's answer that it's all on the 14th but it was before Chatzos or after Chatzos, now we have Rava's answer of fifth answer. Rava, Aydi v'Aydi after Chatzos, it all is applying after Chatzos, like Asher, but there's no contradiction. Can kodim sheshachter v'zorku olam, can la'acha sheshachter v'zorku olam. One is talking about where, so let's say even the mess, all after Chatzos. So the mess died after Chatzos. Nevertheless, Rav Shimon is going to say that he really should not be bringing his kodim pesach. So therefore, kodim sheshachter v'zorku olam, before they shechted and sprinkled the blood for him, they shouldn't be doing it v'hatchila. In other words, if in the afternoon, before they had a chance to bring the Korban Pesach, he became an Oinon, they should not be shechting the Korban Pesach and sprinkling the blood on his behalf. Because by rights, he shouldn't be bringing and eating a Korban Pesach that evening. He should only be bringing a Korban when he's Shalom, not when he's Chatzos. Can la'acha sheshachter v'zorku olam. The other case is talking about if they did b'di'evet, go and shecht and sprinkle the blood for him, after he became an Oinon. And again, we're not talking about that they shechted before he became an Oinon. And then we're talking about after he became an Oinon, they went by mistake and went and shechted and sprinkled for him. Then he can go ahead and eat the Pesach.
So one is
Chachilah, the other is Bidyeh. Right. On the layer of Adav Amatz and the Rava, the Rav Adav Amatz asks, Rava, what do you mean, Achash Shachta Vizoko of Zomi? What kind of a thing is that? At that point, my Dahava Hava, what's done is done. He's already Potter. A Korban Pesach was brought on his behalf. He became Potter. So why should we allow him to eat the Korban Pesach at this point? He's already fulfilled his obligation of bringing a Korban Pesach. What is eating it going to add anything? According to Abaya, you can say, as Rashi says, as he said on Omer Aleph, according to Abaya, who says there's a difference between whether he became an oval before or after Chatzos, so you can say if he became an oval after Chatzos, if you don't allow him to eat it, he's not going to want to bring the Korban Pesach, and since he has a Chiyuv Daraisa to bring it, then he should go ahead and bring it, and we'll allow him to eat it also, in order not to discourage him, or in order that we're not bringing a Korban that's just going to end up going to waste anyway. But according to Rava, you, Rava, are saying that even after Chatzos, Chatzos, you shouldn't be shechting on his behalf. So why should, if Vidyeva they shechted for him, why are we allowing him to eat it? What is eating accomplishing? What is eating accomplishing? Fine, the Korban was shechted Vidyeva on his behalf.
Okay.
That's the question. Why should it be? Why should we allow him to eat the Korban Pesach? Amalei Ravina, he was stuck in Ma'akra. So Ravina says, because eating the Korban Pesach is Ma'akra. If you don't end up eating the Korban Pesach, then it's Ma'akra, because the Korban Pesach is the Korban Pesach retroactively is possible. Midir Rabba Bar Rav Huna. This is based on what Rabba Bar Rav Huna says, which is the next thing that the Gemara is going to quote. Amalei, so when
he wants to shech it, he says, you have to eat it.
But therefore, he says that you have to eat it, because otherwise the Korban is going to end up being possible. Right. Omalei, the Rava says to Rav Adav Amasna, Sayis Maidika Omalach Rabba. pay attention to what your Rebbe, meaning Ravina, and told you. In other words, he gave you a very good answer. I agree with his answer that Achilas Tzafin is ma'akiv based on what Rabbi Bar Abuna said, and therefore there's no choice. Once the Korban Pesach is shechted on his behalf, you have no choice but to allow him to eat. Now, the Rambam has a somewhat different understanding of this. The Rambam understands that the distinction that Rava is making, first of all, the Rambam does accept also Abaya's answer that there's a distinction between whether the mess died before and after Chatzos. Because the Rambam understands, the Chesed Mishnah explains, that Abaya and Rava aren't necessarily disagreeing.
They're giving different
explanations of how to answer, but both answers are valid. But the Rambam has an interesting idea based on what Rava is saying over here, which is, even if the mess died before Chatzos, if after Chatzos, obviously, because that's when you bring the Korban Pesach, if b'di'evet they went and shechted the Korban Pesach on his behalf, even though they weren't supposed to, based on Abaye's answer, nevertheless you can eat it. So they ask, where is the Rambam getting this from? Well, on the face of it, that's Rava saying, I divide it after Chatzos, that even within whether the mess died after Chatzos, you have that distinction of the Kibbutz B'di'evet. Apparently, Rava would be saying, the way we have it in our Gemara, that if the mess died before Chatzos, definitely you shouldn't be bringing the Korban Pesach on his behalf, because you're getting mincha. And yes, the Rambam is saying,
the obligation
only begins. Right, exactly. So therefore, so the Kesef Mishnah explains that the Rambam, the Kesef Mishnah, other notes that Caleb talk about, the Rambam must have had a girsa in our Gemara over here, Rava Omar Aidi Ba'aidi Lifnei Chatzos, Kodim Chatzos. That Rava is saying that within, before Chatzos, there's a difference between Machatzchila and B'di'evet. So therefore, it would come out like this. If the mess died after Chatzos, you should go ahead and bring a Korban Pesach on his behalf, even Machatzchila, and he will be able to eat it, because then the obligation already came on him before he became an Onan, and then he'll eat it that evening, because then in the Slayla is on the Rabban. If he became an Onan before Chatzos, Machatzchila, they should not be shechting on his behalf, but if... that's true also, because you can reallocate till the Korban is shechted, that's true also. But if they did, even though he became an Onan before Chatzos, nevertheless will allow him to eat the Korban Pesach from that evening once he totals. Okay.